Classifications. A few times in this book, we've referred to classification models. While some of the models we've already mentioned are capable of classification, the following are more supervised learning models that are specifically used for classification. Classification requires labeled data and creates non-continuous predications. In classification problems, the graphs are non-linear. There could be two classes in a classification problem, or even more. Classification models are probably the most widely used part of machine learning and data science. The first type of classification is binary classification. With binary classification, the data is classified into two categories, denoted by 1 or 0. We call it binary classification because there are only two possible categories, and all of our data falls into one or the other. But there are instances where we have more than two categories, and for this, we use multi-class classification models. Also, we have linear decision boundaries where data is separated on either side of a line. Not all data can be classified into either side of a decision boundary. The first picture has an example of a classification using a linear decision boundary. In the second image, there are almost two classes, but they are not linearly separable. In the third image, data points are mixed, and linear boundary classification is not possible. Depending on the type of data you are using, there are different model choices that will be better suited for different tasks. Logistic regression classification. This method is used to classify dependent and categorical variables. Logistic regression calculates probabilities based on independent variables. It gives the variables the value yes or no to sort them. Typically used with binary classification. When you can't separate the data into classes by a linear boundary, like in the examples above, this is the method you must use. It's one of the most common types of machine learning algorithms. It doesn't just sort into categories, but it also tells us the probability that a category exists. We denote this model by taking the odds function, where p is the probability of an event, p over 1 minus p, and creating a formula called the logit, log p over 1 minus p. K-nearest neighbors. K-nearest neighbors are one of the most straightforward and widely used methods of data classification. It's a form of supervised learning used for both classification and regression, and it's also the most basic clustering algorithm. Simply put, it's about taking a data point and putting it with the most common and nearest group on the scatterplot. In KNN, a new data point is classified by the average median value of its neighbors, K. The nearest neighbors to a new data point vote for which classification it falls into. K is the number of nearest neighbors that are voting in the model. Set K to a number. This is how many closest data points the new data point will analyze to choose which one it fits with. The closeness of data points is measured using Euclidean distance. Take the following two images as an example. We have our data split into two classifications, the white dots and the black dots. A new data point is introduced, the triangle, and we'd like to predict which classification it falls into. In this model, we have chosen that k equals 4. If you choose k equals 4, then the four closest data points are analyzed. Whichever class is most prevalent amongst the neighboring data points is the class that the new data point will be placed in. In this class, you can see in the image on the right that the four white dots are the nearest classification. Therefore, the new data point is classified in that class. There are a few factors to consider when you are choosing the value for k. The higher the number for k is, the closer we will get to the true classification of our new data point. There is an optimal point where the value of k should stop increasing to avoid overfitting. If you choose to use a number for k that is too low, then there is a likelihood that your model will suffer from a high level of bias. If you use a number that is too high, then the computing power required to calculate the value will be too costly. You might consider choosing to use an odd number when you choose a value for k, rather than an even number. If you use an odd number, it is less likely that you will encounter a tie between classes voting on a data point. Data scientists often choose the number 5 as a default setting for k. If you use a large number for k, this will be very data intensive. Large datasets are also tough to use with KNN machine learning models. If you are using larger datasets, then you must calculate the distance between hundreds or maybe thousands of data points. It also doesn't perform well when you use this method on a model that exists in more than two dimensions. Again, it has to do with the computing power required to calculate this distance between many data points. Support vector. Support vector is another type of classifier. It classifies using a hyperplane. Generally, we would use a support vector model with smaller datasets, where it performs quite well. Kernel support vector. Although we will touch on kernel support vectors later on, they are used to sort classes that can't be separated with a linear separation line. The separation line can try on many shapes: linear, nonlinear, polynomial, radial bias, and sigmoid. Recall the classification by a linear boundary that we just talked about, where the classification looks something like the following image. In this image, our data can be classified by a straight line that separates the two distinct categories of data. It would be convenient if data was always separable like this, but unfortunately, it's not always so neat and tidy. In fact, most of the time, you will have to separate the data in a way that looks more like this. In this example, the data can't be separated by a linear boundary line. So instead, we must use a technique called the kernel trick. It uses a measure of similarity between data points to classify them. Naive Bayes. Recall Bayes' theorem from the first section on supervised learning. With naive Bayes models, predictors are assumed to be independent. This model is easy to use and helpful in large datasets. It's often employed to help sort spam emails. We use Bayes' rule here. The idea of Bayes' rule is that by adding new, relevant information to what we already know, we can update our knowledge based on that new information. If we wanted to know the probability of there being rain this afternoon, we could just figure out what percentage of days it rains per year. But then we found out that it rained this morning. How do you think this will affect the probability that it will rain this afternoon? So, our ability to predict the probability of something will improve when we receive more information about the event. Mathematically, Bayes' theorem is expressed as follows. P times A divided by B equals P times P divided by A plus P times A divided by P times B. So we can classify new data points using Bayes' theorem. The way that works is when we are given a new data point. We calculate the probability of that data point falling into a category based on the features of that data point.